From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It is another great day as we get ready for Wednesday, which is Crossover Wednesday in the Locked On Network. And today, Chris is going to talk with Peter Bukowski of the Locked On Packers show. I think you guys are going to get a kick out of that. We're going to start off today with the top story that is the moves the Chiefs made on Tuesday, a day that they didn't practice, but we saw some changes to the roster, to the lineup, and honestly, the Chiefs weren't alone. But starting with them, what we saw initially was that Kyle Shurmur, the practice squad quarterback that we saw in camp, was elevated to the 53-man, as we expected. This was pretty much a done deal. Andy Reid had hinted about it earlier in the week, and it makes a whole lot of sense in terms of continuity. Now, is he a squared-away prospect that you would think could compete with Matt Moore? No. Really, I think Andy Reid even referred to him as an unknown quantity. They're going to bring him along, let him be in the room, let him be the active backup for now, at least until we know something more about Chad Henne's situation. And they're going to roll with just the two of them in support of Pat Mahomes and whatever timeline he ends up on, since, like we talked about yesterday, we still don't know what that timeline really looks like for Patrick Mahomes. Could it be 2 weeks? Could it be a week? They've ruled nothing out, and I really can't do anything different than that. So they're just going to have to go with it. Now, what that does is put a little bit of an emphasis on, again, keeping the quarterback upright, which should have been priority number one for the last, 7 weeks. But this, it makes it even more so that Matt Moore is your second line of defense. You get past that, and then it's a true question mark. So there are going to be a number of ways that they go about that. They're going to try to run the ball more. They absolutely have to in order to protect this. And they have a ways to go in that department. But you saw that from time to time, and I'll do a video here on RGR Football on YouTube this week about that run game, just getting ready for what they can do against the Packers. But that's not the only move that they made. The defensive line changed a little bit. They had had Terrell McClain in for a little bit. I thought he put in some good snaps early, and then it very much tapered off pretty quickly. So he fell out of favor, and they did elevate Mike Pennell up to the 53-man roster in his place. So McClain out, Pennell in. That left a spot on the practice squad. They signed Braxton Hoyett to fill that D-line role. And the thing that did surprise me a touch is that in making the requisite move to get Kyle Shurmur elevated, they released DeAnthony Thomas. Now, that's not a move that I saw coming, because the situation with Sammy has been so touch and go, and I feel like they're very comfortable with DeAnthony. That's why he was here after the injuries had made that a specific need. And maybe that's something in the future that we're going to see some churn. He may do the CJ Spiller thing and be back on this roster yet again later this season. I won't rule anything out from that standpoint, but clearly they feel that they need the offensive linemen that they have. They feel that they need all the DBs that they have, and they weren't willing to take that risk at going down in numbers at those particular positions. Now, we've also seen them shift a lot of the linebackers around. They have to feel like they have good depth there, and I think that's probably a point now where they're just starting to get that felt out so that they feel secure, and I don't think they wanted to take much of a risk in diminishing what they have in that particular group either. But that's not the only thing that's going on. It started to happen. And I do want to say from the get-go that I've talked to several of my contacts that have sources in the league. I don't have insiders in the Chiefs organization. That's just not something that I possess. And honestly, it's not something that I recruit. But for RGR Football, for me, as an individual that's trying to analyze this team, I do have contacts that do know people inside the organization. And from everything that I've heard in all of my questioning today on Tuesday, as we get ready for the Wednesday crossover show, is that the Chiefs have been inquiring but not making offers. Not terribly active yet. I feel like it's going to come down to the wire if they get something done, and I do feel like they're being a little bit more conservative about not wanting to give away the farm for any one particular player. But there is AFC West news, because when the Chiefs play the Broncos next, they will not see Emmanuel Sanders. He is now a San Francisco 49er. In what was an interesting trade, it shows you the deteriorating value of some of these veterans, and that Sanders was sent to San Fran with a fifth-round pick, and the Broncos got in exchange a third and a fourth in 2020. Very interesting, and on top of the news that Mohamed Sanu was moved to the Patriots as well, there's a little bit of a weapons race going on here. I do feel like that puts the emphasis back on the Chiefs to get a corner, to bolster that secondary even more. We will see if they actually do that. So with that said, when we come back, we're going to get into what's going on with the Packers. Chris and Peter will be back in just a second. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get started. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. You'll get your shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. This is a Locked On Network crossover show, and while I wasn't there for the interrogation, this is Peter Bukowski of the Locked On Packers show and Chris Clark going through the matchup for this week.
And Chris, I think we have to start the only place where we can start a week after what we saw happen with Patrick Mahomes on Thursday. Andy Reid has left the door open, a crack, maybe? For Patrick Mahomes to play on Sunday, but I think we're operating under the assumption that this is going to be Matt Moore. The answer is a lot, but can you give me a little bit of inside info on how you think this offense changes with Matt Moore versus Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I do think the offense is going to change. I think it has to. And Patrick Mahomes is obviously a unique player and really one of a kind in a lot of senses in what he does and how he does it. I think what you're looking at with Matt Moore is you're looking at a guy that's going to be a lot more of a pocket passer. He's not going to be getting out and escaping. He's not going to be running. He does have a lot of experience in the NFL, so I don't think you're going to trick him near as much with coverages as you would, if this was like a rookie quarterback stepping in. So I think that kind of benefits Kansas City. But the offense is going to have to change. I don't know that you're going to have, outbreaking routes going to the far side of the field because he's not going to put the same velocity on the ball that Patrick Mahomes could. Those are going to be balls that are going to be more likely to be intercepted if the timing isn't perfect. And, he hasn't been running this offense very long. So I do think it's going to have to change this week.
On the other hand, what we saw on Thursday was a quarterback who seemed pretty comfortable back there. The long touchdown to Tyreek Hill was an awesome throw moving to his right. So it's not like this team is going to be bereft of playmakers. Tyreek Hill is still a thing. Travis Kelce is still a thing. And Andy Reid is still one of the best play callers and play designers in football. I mean, just give me sort of a ballpark percentage of the maximum of what we've seen this year in terms of the Chiefs that they can be with Matt Moore relative to Patrick Mahomes. And we're talking about 75% the offense, 60%. I mean, where just ballpark it for me.
You know, that's a tricky question. And the reason I say it's so tricky is because you sit here and you look at this offense and what they were able to do against the Denver Broncos, who have had in the past a very good defense. I think you have to be careful what you're expecting with Matt Moore. But the offset of that is he is going into having a full week of preparing as a starter this week. So He's going to be in a situation where he's going to be more comfortable coming in this week. He knows he's going to be playing. It's not a situation where he's just thrown in there and has to go off adrenaline and Andy has to figure it out. They're going to put stuff in the playbook that he's going to be able to do and he's going to be able to do it well. So I think that's going to benefit him. I honestly, it's really hard for me to say without actually seeing him play a game in this offense where they're actually scheming things for him. I would be surprised if it's much more than 65 to 70% Pat Mahomes. I do think that they have the ability to be a good offense. The question is how are the Packers going to play it? Because you start looking at what this is going to mean. Are you going to challenge Matt Moore to beat you and take the chance and really, try to shut down the run game of Kansas City, which hasn't been great anyway, and say, okay, well, we don't believe Matt Moore can beat us. Yes, they have these weapons, but he has to be the one to do it. That's really what it's going to be key to me.
Yeah, and I think all of that is related to what they're able to do in not just the run game, but with their offensive line. Coming into the week, they were a middling team in terms of avoiding pressure. The Football Outsiders adjusted line yard stat has them as one of the three worst run blocking offensive lines in football. And we assume that Matt Moore is not going to be able to process as quickly as Patrick Mahomes, get to some of those downfield reads in particular as quickly as Patrick Mahomes. And that opens the door for this pass rush. So can Kansas City protect well enough given the status of their offensive line right now?
And that's another great question. And right now we don't know whether or not Eric Fisher is going to be back this week. I was thinking that there's a good possibility he may be back for Sunday Night Football, just based on his injury. It was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks. We're sitting in that window right now with a 10-day break after the Thursday night game. He didn't practice at all last week. It's possible he plays this week. And if he plays, that is a huge upgrade on their offensive line. Cam Irving has done pretty decent in pass protection, but he has been horrible at run blocking, and that has really hurt the Chiefs' ability to run the ball. Andrew Wiley has a possibility of playing this week. If the Chiefs could get healthy on the offensive line, it really does change the way they can do things, and it might change Reed's game plan overall, because at that point, you can get to a point where you're like, okay, I know I'm playing Aaron Rodgers, and I know the defense is going to have to, you know, make stops, and hopefully the offense can put up a lot of points, but maybe I play a little bit more ball control than I do try to do quick strike.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the ball for Kansas City, there are, you know, two big red flags for this defense. Number one, by pressure rate, they're a bottom five team, or at least they were before they annihilated and sucked the soul from Joe Flacco's body. and they're a bottom two run defense. So if you can't pressure the quarterback and you can't stop the run, after what the Packers just put on tape on Sunday against the Oakland Raiders, a not good defense, but still a 158.3 passer rating, 6 total touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And one of the best run games in football, what is going to be the approach for Kansas City trying to slow down this Packers offense? Because let's be honest, stopping this Packers offense is off the table.
Well, stopping the Packers offense might be off the table. You can only hope to contain Aaron Rodgers, and you can only hope to do as much as you can possibly try to slow him down. The key for Kansas City really at this point is to figure out what their identity is on defense. And I think last week was a big step in the right direction. I think that you're going to see Reggie Ragland play a little bit more this week than maybe he played last week, or maybe they're just going to use him the same amount they used him last week. But he does change their defense. He is more of a run stuffer, but that does give you a liability in coverage. So, you know, you have to wonder, is, especially with a QB like Aaron Rodgers, is that going to be a situation where he sees, okay, well, Reggie Ragland's on the field, so guess what? I'm going to dump the ball off in the middle of the field and make him cover somebody. Maybe that's what they do. It's going to be a chess match in that regard. And I understand they've been bad against the pass rush. Their pass rush hasn't been great. I do think that this switch to a 4-3 is really going to be something that you're going to start seeing get a little bit better throughout the rest of the season, because I think players are finally starting to gel and get their assignments and get their chemistry. And that really is a big thing going into the NFL.
Yeah, no question. I guess my counter to that would be, what is the situation going to be at cornerback and in the secondary, because they're banged up a little bit? And we haven't seen really anything to be that excited about from, you know, some of these backups. You know, Bashaud Breeland came in and has done some nice things. Obviously, Kendall Fuller is a quality corner. And then the safeties, you really like those guys. But it seems like, you know, if Green Bay is going to put three receivers on the field, especially if Devontae Adams is going to be back and we don't know the situation there, this is going to be a tough matchup for Kansas City.
Well, it's going to be a tough matchup for Kansas City, but Green Bay is always going to be a tough matchup. You know, you start looking at who they're going to have at wide receiver. The question is, are they going to have Devontae Adams? Are they going to have Marquez Scantling? You know, you start looking at some of these matchups, and it is going to be a question mark at how you defend this team. But what I look at is Kansas City's defense has been relatively good against the pass, relatively. I'm not going to say they've been great, but their corners have been pretty good. Kendall Fuller didn't play last week. You had Fenton come in and take his place, and I thought Fenton played very well. I think that group is still gelling. I think the back end is still getting better. But again, you're going up against a team that has a QB that is one of the best of all time in Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be a difficult task to stop him. Really, the question is going to become, can Steve Spagnuolo and can Brendan Daly get something done on the defensive line to where they screw up they get the Packers to screw up their protections a little bit, and you actually get a chance to start hitting Rodgers? Because if you hit Rodgers, and I'm not saying, you know, take him out of the game, I'm just saying if you hit him, that'll change the game a little bit. And I'm not saying he gets crazy feet or, you know, gets happy feet or anything, but if you hit a quarterback enough, it does change the way the game goes.
No question. And he's an older quarterback. He's not quite in that Tom Brady level of, like, anytime there's someone barreling down on him, he's just going to turtle and eat it and anything like that. But, you know, he's still an older quarterback with injury issues. Let's finish up here with my favorite question on these crossover shows. If you were in the Green Bay coaches room and you are putting together your task was to put together the one way, identify the one way that Green Bay can really take advantage of something that Kansas City doesn't do well. What is that one thing that you are highlighting on the scouting report to say this is the way Green Bay can attack Kansas City?
Well, in any other week other than this one, if Patrick Mahomes is playing, this would not be my choice. But right now, if I'm Green Bay, I am selling out against the run and making Matt Moore beat me. Because yes, Kansas City has weapons. Yes, they have, you know, their offensive line, I think, is going to get healthier this week. I do think they're going to have players return. But you're still sitting here in a situation where you have a guy that didn't play at all in 2018 coming in and starting his first game and going up against a team in Green Bay who their defense is ascending. I think if you stop the run in Kansas City, it's going to make it's going to make it a lot harder for Matt Moore to be successful. And that's what I would be trying to focus on this week.
It's still pretty early in the week. Do you have a prediction on how this one plays out?
You know, when I look at this game, I honestly, before the season started, I picked this as a loss. I thought this Chiefs team was going to be good. I didn't know how good they were going to be, but I thought this was going to be a great test. I still think this is going to be a loss. I don't have a great idea as to what the score is going to be just because I don't know what the offense is going to be able to do. I think Andy Reid's going to be good for 20, 24 points maybe, but you know, I expect Green Bay is going to put up, you know, 30 at least.
Well, it is certainly not the game that any of us thought coming into the season when we looked at the schedule and circled this one, but I'm with you. I still think it's going to be a relatively close game, and I still think Andy Reid is going to be able to put up points. It should be a lot of fun.
It should be. And when we come back, we're going to flip the script a little bit, and I'm going to ask Peter questions about the Green Bay Packers. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season. Bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, Peter. So we get into this game and Green Bay is sitting there at 6-1. A lot of question marks coming into the season with the new coach. How does that seem to be going so far?
Well, it's the kind of thing that Matt LaFleur now gets to laugh about at press conferences. I mean, Jason Wilde, longtime Packers reporter, asked him about it on Monday and admitted that he was, you know, one of the guys that was asking a lot of these questions, and Matt LaFleur just laughed about it. And to see them at the point already, I mean, we're not even through October where it seems like they're gelling. They're on the same page. This was action item number one on Matt LaFleur's list of things to do when he got this job was he felt his responsibility as the play caller was to get on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, that seems like an obvious thing to do, but, you know, it's certainly easier said than done. And the early results are pretty positive. And it is, you know, the great week to ask that question, because Aaron Rodgers is coming off a historic performance, the first player ever to have 5 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown with a perfect passer rating. First time in team history, a quarterback has started and finished a game, well, in modern history, with a perfect passer rating. So right now, life is good in Green Bay.
Well, as you start looking at this Green Bay offense, and obviously they're doing well enough to win, but what do you know about this Davante Adams injury? Is it possible he comes back this week? Is it expected he'll come back?
Expectations is hard because Matt LaFleur has played the injury part of this very close to the vest. He has not been giving away a lot of information about the players on the roster. He lets the injury report speak for itself. And they've had a couple times this year already where guys have gone from doubtful on Friday to playing, from questionable on Friday to playing, where we didn't see them practice all week. Marquez Valdes-Scantling last week did that. Geronimo Allison did it the week before. Kevin King did it. And so we don't know. Last week, the idea was there was an outside chance Davante Adams could play. He didn't. And it sounded like they even thought it was possible he could have played against Dallas going into that week as well. So he is progressing. He said last week it's a million times better, the feeling, which I think tells you how bad the initial pain probably is. Turf toe is not a joke. That's a serious injury. And we don't know where he is. He did tweet on Monday that he can't wait to return. I don't know if that means that he is closer to returning. I think we won't know until the Wednesday practice report comes out. And unfortunately, we just don't have that information here as we record this.
Right. And then you start looking at the Packers, and the one thing that the Packers never really seem to have when they've had Aaron Rodgers is they've never really seemed to have a great running game. This year, it looks a little bit different. Is that going to be something that you think is going to be bigger down the stretch, or do you think that it's still getting better as the season goes?
Yeah, and let me push back a little bit against that, because it has been the case that the Packers offense has not relied on its run game. But the last 3 years, I believe it is, the Packers have been a top 8 team by rush offense efficiency. When they have run the ball, they have been efficient running the ball. It's just that Mike McCarthy never really committed to running the ball, and especially last year, did not commit to using Aaron Jones running the ball, which was the cause of much consternation in Packers Nation. This offense is still very good running the ball. They have been a top 5 offense by efficiency this year. Aaron Jones has been one of the most efficient backs in the league, and they have 2 of them. Jamal Williams is perfect for this offense. He has really taken a step forward as a playmaker in this offense. And Green Bay now has 2 running backs who, whether it's through the run game or through the passing game, that can beat you. We've seen Jamal Williams be a driver of this offense. We've seen Aaron Jones be a driver of this offense in both the run and passing game against Dallas. Aaron Jones, 4 touchdowns and was the Packers' leading receiver in a game without Davante Adams. So it's not just the Packers' ability to run the ball. You know, against the Raiders, I think they averaged less than 3 yards per carry, but Jamal Williams caught a touchdown pass. Danny Vitale had 2 big passing plays. The fullback, I mean, this is sexy fullback action for the Packers. And then Aaron Jones is almost an afterthought in the grand scheme of things. So that just tells you the balance and the number of playmakers that this Packers offense has to get to.
Well, and if we flip it over to the other side of the ball, the Packers have really gone in a change on their defensive line and their pass rush. What have you seen from their pass rush so far this year?
Well, going into the week, Preston and Za'Darius Smith were the number 1 duo in sacks and quarterback hits. We're not able to be as productive against that Oakland Raiders offensive line. They gave David Sharp a ton of help against those guys, and Za'Darius Smith was still very good. They still were excellent in the run game, and that is a place where they're going to continue to be stout. First-round pick Rashawn Gary has been excellent in the run game and limited snaps as well. So this is a team that has all season been among league leaders in the ability to get pressure with 4. And that for a Mike Patton defense is so huge, because Mike Patton is one of the best designer blitzes architects in football. If he wants to scheme up a blitz, he usually can scheme up a blitz where he's going to get someone free. Now, whether you can identify it and beat it is a separate question, but he is going to get someone free against your offensive line if he really wants to. The problem is that leaves you susceptible on the back end. The best weapon a defense can have is the ability to simply rush 4. It's the reason Kansas City went out and got someone like Frank Clark, is because you don't want to have to blitz. You want to rely on your front to get home. And so that's something that Green Bay has been able to rely on. And in games where they haven't been able to rely on it, that's been when, you know, Kirk Cousins has been able to have some success. Derek Carr had some success against them when they haven't been able to get home with four. So, you know, that's something that I think they're going to try and do in this game. But we'll see. Are they going to blitz Matt Moore? I don't know. Are they going to play a ton of man coverage? I don't know. I think if they're going to play a ton of man, they're not going to blitz a lot. So it's going to be, you know, something that Mike Patton is going to have to figure out over the course of, you know, the next few days.
When you look at this Chiefs offense, what do you think that they're going to do to try to slow down Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who both seem to be healthy for the first time in the season?
Yeah, I think if you're the Packers, you're much more worried about Kelce than you are Tyreek Hill. And that's not any sort of shot at Tyreek Hill. It's just that tight ends have given the Packers problems all season. Darren Waller was a major problem for the Packers last week. Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz were a problem against the Eagles on Thursday night. So that's something that they're really going to have to get buttoned up, whether it is playing an extra safety. Ibrahim Campbell can come off the PUP this week, and he was really good in a short stint for the Packers last year. So that's something that I think can really change their offense. They need to get these matchups sorted out. You know, Jaire Alexander is a 4-3 guy. He is twitched up just like Tyreek Hill, and he is a dog just like Tyreek Hill. I think that that's going to be one of the most fun matchups of the entire weekend, is to see those two go at it. And Jaire is one of the few guys in the league who has the speed to run with Tyreek Hill. Not that he is as fast, but certainly has the ability to. He's not going to get torched. You don't have to have safety help over the top at all times. My guess is they're gonna play and allow Jaire Alexander to take on that matchup until, you know, it hurts them, and focus a little bit more of their attention defensively to stopping Travis Kelce.
Well, and when you look at what that would mean if they do not double Tyreek Hill, it's also possible to get Sammy Watkins back this week. Still mm-hmm. going to see whether or not he's going to be able to play. So that'll change things if he is able to play to give Matt Moore a couple more weapons. When we get down to the nitty gritty of this game, though, how do you think it shakes out in the end? What's your prediction?
You know, as I look at the way that this Kansas City defense is playing, with Patrick Mahomes, you feel confident that the Chiefs can win a shootout. And I would not, you know, I would pick them to win a shootout against any team in the league if Mahomes is healthy. But he's not. And so I look at a defense that is struggling to stop the run. Green Bay is going to love that. I think they're going to control the ball with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, and that's going to set up shot plays for them. They killed the Raiders on shot plays last week. 8 receivers caught passes for the Packers against Oakland. 6 of them caught passes of 20 plus. And 5 different guys caught touchdowns. So I just think from a matchup standpoint, it's going to be too difficult for Kansas City to stop Green Bay consistently and score with them with Matt Moore. So I think it's one of those, like, you know, 31-27 type games for Green Bay where they score enough, and Kansas City gets theirs for sure. But I think 31-27 is where I am right now. Green Bay, I would say, steals one on the road, just because, you know, if Kansas City is totally healthy, I'm not sure I would see it that same way.
Well, and there you have it. Thank you very much, Peter, for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And that is going to be it for us today. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.